Thank you for blessing us with that. Allow me to read scripture to you this morning. Psalm 8, a psalm of David. Yahweh, our Lord, how magnificent is your name throughout the earth. You have covered the heavens with your majesty. Because of your adversaries, you have established a stronghold from the mouths of children and nursing infants to silence the enemy and the avenger. When I observe your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you set in place, what is man that you remember him, the son of man that you look after him? You made him a little less than God and crowned him with glory and honor. You made him Lord over the works of your hands. You put everything under his feet, all the sheep and oxen, as well as the animals in the wild, the birds of the sky, and the fish of the sea that pass through the currents of the seas. Yahweh, our Lord, how magnificent is your name throughout the earth. Amen.
I've been wanting to approach this topic for some time. It's one of my favorite theological issues in Scripture. You're going to learn some great theology today. We've been talking about rewards that Jesus promises us. The disciples ask, what's in it for us kind of question. He gave the parable of the workers in the vineyard and how they got paid. And it's about inheritance. It's about our inheritance. Do you know what your inheritance is as a man and woman of God? There's so much misconception on this in the church that I have to credit N.T. Wright with giving me my theology on this, who's a New Testament scholar that I've just hooked onto his theology, and it's just really carried me along. I have such a robust belief in the physicality of our reward instead of what sometimes we flatten it down into the spiritual side of our reward, you know, the heavenly realm, and we take the physical out for some reason. I think it's challenging and threatening to people. I think God's people. I think it's a little threatening to think about the body, physicality, and what that means for us. But it's our inheritance, and if you're in a will. If you have an inheritance and you're in a will, someone's will, you wait, don't you, with anticipation for what is going to come to you. You don't really know, but you know you're in the will. Well, sometimes you know you're in the will, and you wait with anticipation for what's going to come to you. Well, the scripture is fulsome on our inheritance, on what's in the will for you, exactly spells it out. And a couple of weeks ago, we talked about, Jesus talked in Matthew about the new Genesis. Remember that? It's Matthew 19:28. It's the new Genesis. You know, when Timmy was ill, he would sit up in his room and he would close the door. And he would listen to Anya's song, Caribbean Blue. And I never really understood the Caribbean Blue. Teresa and I splurged last year. We went to the Caribbean. First time we'd done anything like that in 40 years of marriage. But we went to the Caribbean. And I understand what Caribbean Blue is now. And he would listen to that song over and over. Because Anya's song, Caribbean Blue, and I would encourage you, if you have access to that, to listen to it. It's all about the new Genesis. Anya's talking about, she says, can we remember as human beings when Caribbean Blue was everywhere, was in the sky, She said, can you recall a time when the sky was Caribbean blue? Can you recall a time when all the oceans were Caribbean blue? And then she talks about how that's coming around again. That new Genesis is going to occur. This is exciting stuff. And I want to emphasize to you, it is all about our bodies, our physicality, inhabiting a very physical new world. This world is not going anywhere. Our sovereign king does not compromise. He created matter. He likes it. And that's our inheritance. I get excited about it. I've told you before, I go down to my woods, and which I love to do. And I told Teresa, hey, here's the singular thing about the woods. Tori, listen to this. We've lived there, what, 35 years? In 35 years, I've never seen another human being in my woods. I'm happy about that, because I like to go down there and get into solitude, silence, and study. And when I go down there and I see the woods, which I love, I look at the woods, and it's beautiful. But I also understand it is just a shadow of its future self. You know, we look at someone who's sick sometimes, and disease has the aberrant effects of physiology, you know, where it deteriorates a person, and you look at a person like that and you say, well, they're just a shadow of their former self, don't you? Well, listen, at our very best, we are a shadow of our future selves. At our very best, at the peak of your height, of your youth and your strength and your beauty. I deal with and Sandy now is helping me with this. We deal with people that have their bodies betray them. You know, our bodies are victims of the fall. Our bodies are victims of our choices. And things we do, and then our bodies have no choice. They have to go along with us, and we deal with that. They come in there, and their bodies are hurting. And many times I'll say to people, I'll quote 1 Corinthians to them. I say, this corruptible must put on incorruptibility. Don't you love that? Paul says, this mortality is going to be swallowed up in immortality. So Jesus talks about the new Genesis. He says, in the new Genesis, when the Son of Man takes his seat on the throne of his glory. Okay? When is the new Genesis going to occur? We've had the old Genesis, didn't we? My favorite three chapters in Scripture. Genesis 1, 2, 3. Understand that, you understand everything. Jesus says the new Genesis is coming. And he says it's going to happen when he takes his seat on the throne of his glory. Well, when's he going to take his seat? Because that's when this new Genesis starts. So when would he take his seat? Well, Paul tells us that. Again, in 1 Corinthians 15. Boy, soak yourselves in that chapter. You want to get over the humdrum of daily life and the stuff that pulls at us. Soak yourself in 1 Corinthians 15. And Paul says this is when Jesus is going to take his seat. When he has defeated all of his enemies. All rule, all power, all authority, and then he says, and the last enemy that he's going to abolish, not just defeat, abolish, is death. I was at a memorial service a couple of weeks ago, and I spoke about that. I said, as humanoids, our greatest enemy is death. And at the end of the service, a Buddhist got up and said, no, death is nothing to worry about. Well, it jolly well is. Because death is real, dangerous, and potent, but we have a sovereign king who is going to abolish it. And what does death affect? It affects our bodies. So when Jesus, I imagine him working in the heavenly realm and working in the earthly realm through his people. You know your point, right? You know the point of your faith. You're the new Israel. And you know what Israel means? Israel means striving with God. And Jesus is working right now to abolish these things. All power, all rule, all authority. And eventually he's going to abolish death. And he does it through us, his people. I lost my train of thought there. I'll get it back here in a minute. When he does that, the new Genesis begins. He's working now. It could be today. But Teresa and I talk about that all the time. You know, we say, well, we know that the parousia is going to occur when he appears, but it's not going to be today. You know, do you ever do that? Well, you know it's not going to be before we eat dinner today. But it could be. It's not going to be before tomorrow morning, of course, but it could be. So he's working now to abolish those things. And then he's going to take his seat on the throne of his glory. You know what the throne of his glory is? The renewed earth. He's going to run it. He's going to be present. He's going to be with us physically here in our reality on the throne of his glory. And his glory is going to be that which he has accomplished in abolishing all rule, all authority, and all power and death. It's going to be the world and the physical world absent the taint. Get a hold of that. We had prayer requests. It's all about the taint. That which was tainted, that which the enemy robs from us. Do you find life a little hard? A little tedious, hard? It's the taint. Teresa and I were talking last night. We can't imagine life without the taint. We've come to think of entropy and chaos and death as normal. We're the people that Isaiah talked about, the people that are walking in darkness, the people living in the land of darkness. It's just the way it is. And we come to accept that. And Scripture screams back at us, no, do not accept that as normal. It's not normal. So when Jesus accomplishes those things, he's going to sit down on the throne of his glory. And the glory is the new earth. Well, what's our role? What are you going to be doing? What's your inheritance? What is humanity's role in this new Genesis? If you get a hold of this, let me guarantee you, your faith will never be boring again. And you will have purpose. Renewed purpose day by day, hour by hour. Because we're called to bring this to bear now, in and through the power of the Spirit, living and working in us, helping people deal with the taint. What's our role? Well, Jesus says, well, here's your role. Those of you who have followed me, now, did you catch that? Followed me. Not, I believe in God and everything. Kind of faith. I don't know what that means anyway, and everything. Those who have followed me, Jesus says, will also share and rule with me, and they're going to share the throne of my glory. Wow. We share this throne of glory, and here's your inheritance. That God has bequeathed to his people. What does it mean to bequeath something? It means you take what is yours and you give it to someone else. That's a bequeathment. God has bequeathed to you and me his glory. Wow. What are we to do with that glory? What are we to do with that glory? Genesis 1. Let's create man in our image. Let's give man our glory. Now here's what you're to do with that glory. Reign, rule, and dominate. Reign, rule, and dominate everything that I just made. Day 6. Here's my world, God says to humanoids. Here's my world, he says to paradisal man. I bestowed you with a powerful weapon to wield in this job, daunting job, I admit, to reign, rule, and have dominion. But I've given you a weapon, and the weapon is my very image, my glory. Here, take it. And there's so much entailed with his glory, so much that it means for us. Immortality? Absolutely. Impervious to the elements? Absolutely. Have command over physics? You bet. Are you getting this? And where is all of that power and glory invested? In our bodies. I look at Jesus of Nazareth. Why did God embody him? So he was equipped to come into God's chaotic world and with his body bring kingdom rule. He did it with his body. Touched people. Spoke to people with his body and things happened. Diseases are healed. The waves are calmed. The dead are raised, all with his body. Why? Because it had the glory of God. And that's the practical realization of God's glory in our bodies. Are you getting a hold of this? Where we're going and what your inheritance is? Reign, rule, and dominate. Take this glory, go run my world. Well, what? How's it going? How's it going in your little sphere of earth? Are you reigning, ruling, and dominating? Or is it a little bit of a struggle? I'm telling you what, I struggle. Why? What happened? Let me tell you exactly what happened. See, your theology is just, this is going to just, Holy Spirit's going to grip you. What's Paul say happened? A verse you all know. Romans 3:23. For all have sinned. And as a result, they fall short. Fall short of what, Paul? The glory of God. That image. That throne of glory that we are to rule from. Genesis 3. You sin, you get booted out. You sin, the dimensions split. But here's the catch. And here's why we struggle. Even though we have fallen short of the glory that God intended for his humanoids to wield, to reign, rule, and have dominion, even though that has happened and we've fallen short, guess what? The catch is we still are charged with the same task. we still, as humans, are to reign, rule, and have dominion. Our job didn't change. What changed? The tools. You ever try and do it? Tom's a woodworker, excellent woodworker. I'm sure he uses great tools to create beautiful furniture. Tom, I want you to create that same piece of furniture in here. You got to use this stuff from Teresa's favorite store, Ollie's. She hates that store.
Never been in it.
It's so you see the point? Tom still has to make this beautiful. You're still expected to reign, rule, and have dominion. But you got to use these tools now. Because you gave up the glory of God. Is this making sense? Life hard? Well, God told Adam and Eve that. You see, we'd like to opt out, wouldn't we? A lot of people do opt out of life. Too hard. I'm not going to do it. We fall woefully short, and now we perform reigning, ruling, and having dominion instead of gloriously. We perform it ingloriously, absent the glory of God. That's the struggle. That's why I go to work. That's what I do. I deal with people who are, and I'm with them, reigning, ruling, and having dominion ingloriously, absent the glory of God, because we've all sinned and fallen short of that plan. So now, and God said in Genesis 3, he said, boy, I wish you hadn't done that. I warned you. Now here's what's going to happen. Boom, boom, boom. Relationships tainted. Stewardship tainted. Worship tainted. But you still are going to be involved in all three. And instead of cypress and myrtle coming up when you work the garden, what did he say is going to come up instead? Thorns and thistles. Instead of walking through the garden and just having your food provided, which was always the plan, God said, I gave you all this, all these trees. Don't you love Genesis? There's just so much there. He says, I'm going to give you this garden. Eat. All your food's provided. Just roam around. Eat. Don't, but the one in the center. So instead of that, he said, now you've got to get your food from the sweat of your brow by working the earth, and it's going to be hard. Do you find that true? Is life a little hard? Well, sometimes don't you just feel a little pummeled? This is why. We're ruling, reigning, and having dominion, and we're doing it ingloriously. We're doing it with really bad tools because we've fallen short of the glory that God intended us to rule with. And he says plainly in Genesis, he has a word in there. I think it's chapter 3, verse 18, I believe. He says the word yet. God says, yet you have to do it. You have to. There's no way out. You have to reign. You have to rule. You have to have dominion. You have to have relationships. You have to have stewardship. You have to worship me. And yet, you must do it ingloriously. And so, the chaos of the taint, the chaos of the fall, gets deeper and deeper and deeper as we get farther and farther away from gloriously, gloriously ruling, reigning, and having dominion. And instead of, it comes down to this, I think. instead of us sharing the throne of glory that Jesus said you're going to share eventually in the new Genesis, thank God for that, right? You know, thank God there's a caveat to this. Or we would, as Paul said, we'd be pitied above all men. And here's the hope. Here's the hope for God's people. Right now, we reign from the throne of whose glory? What, Rocky? Well, right now, we will. We will. Right now, we reign from the throne of man's glory. Don't we? How's it going? Tori's quite the conservative pundit. He's very good. And, you know, Tori, he says the world is in chaos. The country is in chaos. Because it's being run from the throne of man's glory instead of God's glory. And look what happens. Thorns and thistles? Relationships tainted? Misunderstandings between people? Worship tainted? Your work tainted? Because our bodies are tainted. So next week, here's your assignment. You got Psalm 8 right there on the back of your devotional. I want you to get a hold of what this psalm really says. Because this psalm explains the glory of God. This psalm explains your inheritance. This psalm explains that when our bodies have been gloriously renewed, you are going to have relationships, stewardship, and worship with those bodies with no taint. No taint. Can you imagine a sky above? Caribbean blue? You will. Let's pray. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Bless this message. Amen.